In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Hey, welcome to another public reading of Scripture here with Behold Israel on our regular Thursday evening. I know what you're thinking right now. This is not Pastor Mike Golay. My name is Jason Comans. I'm our Director of Tours here at Behold Israel. And it's my joy and privilege and honor to join with you this evening and dive into the Word and go to the throne room in prayer in light of what God's Word has to say. So I'm filling in for Pastor Mike this week. This week, we are going to be picking up in the book of Haggai in the Old Testament, the book of Haggai. So I'll let you work your way there if you have your Bible open in front of you. And if not, no problem at all. I have mine, and we're just here to hear the word of the Lord and respond accordingly. This later this evening, as we continue, will be in the book of John as well. So if you want to put a note and mark both of those spots in your Bible, that's where we're going to be tonight, is John 17 as well. But as we dive in, allow me to go to our Father in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we're here on this Thursday evening, at least in the U.S., but Lord, there are people from all over, different times of the day, morning, wee hours of the night, who are here to worship you, God, through the reading of your word and recognizing you in your place tonight. So we're privileged, God, to hear from you in the book of Haggai. We're excited to hear what you have to say, what your eternal word has decreed. So we commit this short time to you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And throughout this time, I'll be acknowledging the chat as well. So if you have thoughts you want to share, if you're tuning in and you want to say hello, and if you have ways you're praying as we go about this, please share them and I'll look over them and review them as we go throughout our evening. So it's so good to see so many comments already coming in. We have people from the Carolinas, British Columbia, the Philippines. See, I'm telling you guys, we have people everywhere. So what a blessing. We're going to worship together through the hearing of the word. We're going to start in Haggai chapter 1. Short book, prophet, little bit of context. You have the exiles that have returned from Babylon. They're rebuilding the city and the temple. So they're in Jerusalem. They're under Zerubbabel. And you have the prophet Haggai that's received the word of the Lord to not only call out the areas where they're coming up short, but also to spur them on. That's the God we serve. And he communicates through the prophets. And it's not just a harsh condemnation. It's a keep going. So let's dive in to the prophet Haggai and listen to the word of the Lord, to what it has to say. Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came too little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. God desires to dwell with his people. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. I'd like to see what a few people may have chimed in and had to say in our comments. Yeah, God bless Israel forever, says Fortino. God bless Israel forever. And there's a couple things that have already stood out to me so much in this first chapter, but let's get through the whole book of Haggai before we comment further on it. In the seventh month, this is Haggai chapter 2, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came up out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake in heaven and the earth and the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day, I will bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Really a profound two chapters of the Old Testament. And again, think, I know oftentimes when we think of the prophets, oftentimes we're thinking of the captivities, we're thinking of them prophesying during the time of the kingdoms, the northern, the southern, all the different kings we read about in the Kings and Chronicles. But Haggai is different in that he's post-exile, as well as a couple others. Haggai is different. This is when they're back in the land. They're supposed to be building the temple and be zealous for it, but the Lord calls them out on their apathy, looking after themselves, but not prioritizing God and his dwelling place with them. What sticks out to you as we read through those two chapters? I'd like to see a few of your comments before we conclude. Let's see here. As we go through, man, I'm seeing more and more people just from all over the world, Australia. Let's see here. Rose says this. Rose says, do not fear, for the Spirit of the Lord is among us. The word of the Lord is so powerful. And just as he promised his people Israel that the same Spirit that was with them coming up out of Egypt, here they are so many years later, and he's saying, the same Spirit is with you today. Do not fear. And Melinda has a similar observation. Melinda says, it is so encouraging that the Lord says, I am with you. When the Lord is with us, we need not fear. Amen. And something really unique that stands out to me as we read through this and the other prophets, isn't it amazing that not only God uses a prophet, this is how he's communicating to his nation, but when he does that, he's actually calling people by name. Zerubbabel, hear Zerubbabel. Listen, of course, we always want to be admonished by the Lord, but sometimes there's condemnation. And in this case, there's both. But God knows your name. God's not passive. He's very intentional in his dealings. He's not passive about what his plans are for you. And I think that's so cool. But what really hit me was back in chapter 1, verses 12. Well, really just verse 12 is what we can highlight. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. They feared the presence of the Lord. And I can't help but think of the author of Hebrews telling us that the Lord has no legitimate child that he doesn't discipline to draw them back in love. And you look at his covenant people and his dealings with them right here. And there's a strong condemnation. There's a strong call out. Excuse me. But there's also a calling back. They obeyed the voice of their Lord. You have to love it. What else is in here? What else are you noticing? I see so many of you just voicing your support for the nation of Israel too. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to pray accordingly before we move on. Yeah, Nancy says, I think I can be guilty of that. Lord, may I always put you first. That's what Nancy has to say. I think I can be guilty of that. Lord, may I always put you first. Amen. Well, if you would, before we move on to John chapter 17, let's engage the Lord in the throne room this evening or wherever you are, morning time, wee hours of the night. Let's engage him in light of what we've just learned. Let's be intentional. You know, Father God, we look at this promise, we look at this prophet, and we see how you've just upheld your promise dating all the way back to Abram, even before that, all the way back to the garden where you promised a seed that would save and crush our enemy. But you brought this thing to its fulfillment. You brought this promise to its fulfillment, and you're continuing to fulfill it. And so much else through the people of Israel. And Lord, we look at the sheer chaos, the tragedy, the anguish, the just destruction that the nation has endured these last 6 months and really since their existence. Lord, we know that most of Israel does not believe, but we see you fulfilling your promise anyways. We look at the book of Haggai and we see an apathetic people, yet you remind them of who you are to them. And it's enough, God, to draw them in and obey. Lord, we make that personal now, and we also look at how you could so easily cut us off, but it's not who you are. We deserve it, but it's contrary to your character to break your covenants, to break your promises. But God, you're so gentle. You're such a perfect father that draws us back when we go astray. And God, we're so blessed by the reading of Haggai this evening, because I know that I am, because it's so rich. And the same God we're engaging right now is the same God that called the people of Israel back to be zealous for the Lord dwelling among them and for him having his own house among them thousands of years ago. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We are going to turn over to the book of John now, and we'll be in John chapter 17. That's John chapter 17. I'll give you a moment to flip over there. I have to do the same. John 17. And you are more than welcome, as I had said. If there's anything that sticks out to you as we read through this, please put it in the comments. I'd love to hear your feedback, how it's speaking to you. Let's dive in. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Think about how imperfect they were, yet this is how Jesus acknowledges them. "They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." How awesome is that? "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's you. That's me. We're recipients of this from generation to generation. that they all may be one as you, Father, are in one, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. What stood out to you as we read through this amazing dialogue between the Son and the Father? I mean, it's in this text, it's one way, but you see the Son, our Messiah, knowing what's at hand, going before the Father, and not thinking about so much about what he's about to go through, but ultimately, like the author of Hebrews says, what it would mean for those he was about to die for the whole world to have a shot at reconciliation. And for those who believe, to know that he's thinking of his disciples as he's about to go through something so gruesome. But he knew what it meant. And this is why, like the author of Hebrews says, it was with the joy set before him that he endured what he's about to endure later on in this book. What stuck out to you as we read through this? Let's take a look. What an honor, Father God, to be able to meet like this in prayer together, agreeing on your word and your promises. Very much so. That's from Britt. And Joyce says, we are sanctified through the truth. His word is truth. And that's an amazing reality that Jesus communicates to the Father here, because the sanctification process for us is a day by day by day until we're in the presence of the Lord. It is a day by day lifelong process after we've come to know the Lord. But it's amazing, apart from his word, you can't be sanctified. We need the Holy Spirit, but we also need his word. This is what feeds us. This is what grows us. This is what challenges us. This is what convicts us. Sanctify them. By the truth, your word is truth. Amazing. What else? Janet says that we are in him as he is in the Father. You couldn't possibly be any more spiritually close to the Lord than you are now. He dwells in you. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, Deborah, this is a great observation. Deborah says, what stuck out to me is Jesus prayed that we would have the love and perfect relationship that Jesus and the Father had. Isn't it amazing how not only is that what makes them God, three in one is God, and he talks about how their union is perfect between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, but the Father and the Son is who's in view right now, and their union is perfect. And we know from the Gospels as well that it's that same love is how the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples, the love we have for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yeah, he was with the world. He was with the Father before the world was. And Gwen, I think this is something we can all jump on board with. Thank you, Jesus, for continuing to sanctify me day by day. Change me, Lord, to be more and more like you. And he's going to answer that because we know that's according to his will. So join me as we close in prayer, and I'll give you a couple announcements before we depart for the evening. But just join me and pray quietly or out loud. I want to encourage you to pray quietly or out loud where you are too. Lord, we come to you and we recognize it's amazing the parallel here, Father, between what Jesus had to say to you nearly 2,000 years ago before he suffered the most gruesome death ever. What he had to say to you, though, is amazing because it parallels so much to what we just learned through the words of the prophet Haggai. And that's that you assured Zerubbabel and the people of Israel that the same God, the same spirit that was with them coming out of Egypt was present with them in that time so that they could fulfill the plans of the Lord and be sure of it and not fear. Wow, we look at what your son not only was about to do for us, but he was thinking of us leading up to it. He was thinking of his immediate disciples and knowing the future of what it would lead to for the salvation of so many. And that includes me and so many in the audience here tonight. And we recognize that the same Jesus, the same Spirit of God that did the work for us nearly 2,000 years ago is the same God that dwells in us. And we need not fear. And that was part of the Son's request to you, Holy Father, was that we would be not taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil one. And in the whole context of his prayer to you, Father, we see that we need not fear because it's done, it's sure, it's finished, it's adamant, it's secure. But just like the people of Israel back in the times of Haggai, we need to obey. God, help us to fulfill your purpose for us individually, but also to be on fire for you as a church in the last days. Lord, we think of the people of Israel as they dwell today. What your son did for them is just as much true today as it was 2,000 years ago. They need to respond. Lord, we think of all of the unbelieving in Israel, whether they're secular, whether they're religious, but they're zealous for works, but they don't know you because there's no faith. We lift them up to you, God, and that there might be a great spiritual awakening and revival amongst the people of Israel today. Today, God. Now, in this season, that they would look back on the scriptures they know so richly and see how you've been so faithful, even to bring them back to where they dwell today. Lord, for those whose spirits are downtrodden, are weary of those serving in the military in Israel, God, give them a renewal of strength through your word that speak these same words to them, Lord, by your spirit that says, do not fear. The same God who's delivered you so many times will carry you through this and deliver you through this. And God, as the nations look on at the survival, because this nation will survive, as the nations look on, may Gentiles all over the world look and see that there is a God over Israel and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So in closing, a couple of different announcements, just so you know what to expect. I want to remind you, every Monday, we do our weekly prayer meeting on Zoom at 10 a.m. Pacific time. You can find all of the information to join our weekly prayer meetings on our website. If you go to beholdisrael.org, you go to live online events, you'll see our weekly prayer meeting. If you click on it, there's a Zoom link and all of the information you need to know so that you can join us. And Our weekly prayer meeting is just that. It's going to the throne room, lifting up our, recognizing God for who he is, but then also making our requests known to him. So we do this collectively with an international audience every Monday. We encourage you to tune in and join us for that for an hour. Also, I do want to remind you that if you haven't already, Amir has a Telegram channel. Maybe you just kind of look for those periodic updates on Facebook or Instagram. You're seeing the tip of the iceberg there, where he does all of his real-time live update, real-time updates on news in Israel and around the world is on this platform called Telegram. I'll leave it up here for a moment because you could scan that with your phone. If you're using your phone right now, I don't have any advice for you, but that QR code right there will take you to the page where you can subscribe. You do have to download the Telegram Messenger app, but that's where you really get the up-to-date, well, news updates on current events, oftentimes before a lot of media outlets have even had a chance to respond to them and make them known. So Amir's Telegram channel, we encourage you to subscribe. If apps are not for you, if downloading an app and subscribing is really not something you're interested in, you can also just go to our website and under news, there's the latest from Amir on Telegram. Click on that tab and there's a link where you can just go to his page on your internet browser and there's no subscribing or anything. It's like visiting a news channel each morning when you wake up. So that's another option in case you weren't aware of it. So thank you for joining me. God bless you the rest of your week, the rest of this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to hear the word of the Lord. We look forward to picking up next week. Blessings.